Welcome to Focus on the Communal Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. Well, we've got a good show today. As our listeners know, summer is winding down and we're getting back into the school year. And we'll have a couple of episodes here where we're going to preview local school districts. And today, I'm joined by Travis Madison of the Barreve Community Schools District. How are you, Travis?
I'm doing well, Grant. I'm glad you're having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. And obviously, I know you, Travis. We've spoken before about a year ago. Is that right?
Yeah. Time flies.
It does fly. Maybe tell our listeners just who you are, how long you've been at Barreve, and just a little bit about yourself, please.
Again, grew up in Washington, Daviess County resident, came back home to start my career at least at Barreve after a short stint at White River Valley up in Greene County, and was actually blessed to get the principal's job at the ripe old age of 29 about 16 years ago. So it's hard to believe I've completed 16 years at Barreve, nine as principal, and then just completed my seventh year as superintendent. Was blessed to get that job 7 years ago, and just feel very feel very thankful to continue to be able to be in such a great community that supports its schools and supports its kids, and anything that we do, we can count on our folks. I've said this often, and we're a throwback community. I think we're still we still do a lot of things the old-fashioned way, but there's not a whole lot wrong with that in my opinion. But at the same time, we're trying to mix in a healthy mix of some new things and some trying to always not necessarily always cutting edge, but trying to do things to make sure our kids are competitive and our teachers have everything they need to prepare them for whatever's next.
Absolutely. And I, you know, you said some really good things there, but certainly the community supports Barreve Schools. There's a lot of momentum surrounding your schools. It seems like there's a lot of good things going on. I didn't realize though that you were 29 when you got the principal job.
Yeah, they took a chance on me a little bit, and
so you were the principal at the high school or the
junior high? Okay, junior high and high school. So both. I had 7 through 12.
The boy principal, is that right? Like,
yeah, I think some of the teachers at that time said, "I've got kids older than you," so it was a different aspect for them. But things couldn't have happened any better for me, and I feel like it's been a good marriage, so to speak. Been very blessed to work with a lot of great people, and at that time I had a lot to learn, but I also had a lot of folks to lean on there in the school and the community that were always willing to answer questions, and I've always approached everything kind of from that student position where I'm always wanting to learn. I'm always wanting to pick up new things, and I still do that even in the role that I'm at now, is just reaching out to superintendents or other corporations. Hey, how are you guys handling this? How are you doing this? And then trying to figure out, okay, could we do something like that at Barreve, and how would we tweak it to make it fit for us? And that's just the way I approach things. If I'm sitting status quo or sitting idly by, I'm not usually too happy. I always like to be trying to push the envelope a little bit.
Gotta keep improving,
yeah,
right?
And just trying to find different ways. Because again, I think our kids are worth it, and our community is worth it, and our kids are going to be coming out into a more and more competitive environment all the time, in a global economy, and with technology the way it is. And so I think it's important we make sure we've got our kids more than prepared for whatever challenges they want to have. And I've often said this at board meetings, I don't want our zip code to determine what they want to achieve and strive for. So we've got a lot of great opportunities, obviously, here locally for employment and for different things that they want to do. But we also want to make sure we're opening all the doors possible for them.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point of view. You talked about, you know, constantly changing, constantly improving. And that's a big part of what we're going to talk about today, Travis. What's changed in the last year? I mean, I know you've got a building project going on.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Enrollment's doing well. Tell me, let's start maybe by talking about the building project.
Sure.
Tell me what's going on, how that came up.
It's kind of evolved over the last few years. It kind of started with a study that we did, a feasibility study, just really looking at our systems, where our HVAC systems are. Those aren't really fun things to talk about, but yet those are big ticket items for corporations to make sure they're staying on top of, you know, roofs, HVAC systems, electrical grids, things like that. Obviously at this time when you're dealing with a school that parts of it are very, very aging, and then you got other parts that have been built in over the years, and actually the last major building project was right around 20 years ago. You start to get inefficiencies, and you start to see issues pop up all the time.
Let me ask, what did they do 20 years ago? What was that project?
That was building 8 classrooms on the northwest end of the school to increase some elementary classrooms, and then also add a northwest gym, which is primarily used for practices now and PE classes.
Younger kids. The junior high might play some games there. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, they do, but it's really cramped. The thing that kind of got this, and this is something that's changed since you and I talked. I mean, I was really aggressively approaching an opportunity that that I thought was a good fit for us, and it was a QZAB opportunity, which is Qualified Zone Academy Bonds through the state and federal government. It would filter through the Department of Ed, but it was actually a federal grant program. And what it enables you to do is you set up an academy on your site where you specialize in something, which we're going to specialize in STEM education, K-12. But then you basically what we were able to do is get $6 million worth of improvements to our existing footprint. You couldn't add on to your building, but you could do all the things we needed to do within our systems and look at this. We were able to get that at a 1.5% interest rate because the federal government basically...
They subsidize it, right?
Subsidize it. So it was an opportunity for us to do the work we felt like we needed to do.
It's almost free money, right?
And it was going to save our taxpayers. I think what the financial consultant ended up saying is almost $2 million in interest over that 20-year life of that loan. So we've kind of taken a slow and steady approach. We got that secured, and then after we got that secured, one of the key factors in that is we were going to build some classrooms inside an old gymnasium that sits in the middle of the school that was dilapidated. We used the heck out of it, but it's still a gym that is never going to be able to host games, but yet it's probably more conducive to classrooms because of its proximity in the school.
So the location lent itself to being classrooms,
right? It just made sense. We talked to different folks as far as the feasibility of turning that back into a gym and what it could really offer us, and it wasn't really going to offer us anything more. And I think it just goes back to us wanting to look at it from a perspective as being progressive and trying to be aggressive as far as putting ourselves in a position generationally in a better position than we are now. So there was a lot of dominoes that in the process. There were a lot of different moving parts, and it's been an ongoing process for me for the better part of 4 years. When you talk about just looking at back 4 years ago, when we were looking at just our systems, and it's kind of migrated to where we're getting to the point here where now we got to put a plan of action to say, okay, what are we going to do, and trying to find the best way to do it, not only fiscally, but also make sure we're doing everything we can to put our teachers and students in the best position instructionally for all the programs that we have, whether it's academics, our fine arts programs, and our athletic programs, and all of those things are going to be intertwined in this project.
Absolutely. So this past week, I know you guys had an open public session to talk about it. Tell me, what were some of the feedback? Yeah. Obviously, there's some good things.
Yeah, I mean,
some things that people... didn't like, but tell me your takeaways from that meeting.
Well, the one thing that we've tried to do throughout this process is listen as much as we can to what everybody has to say, and ultimately you try to take all that information in and utilize that to strategize and put together the best plan of action, and that's really what we've done throughout this whole process. About 2 years ago, when we were looking at the QZAB, I met once a month with 10 or 11 members of the community, and we talked about, okay, kind of like what I talked about, the moving parts here. Here's what we're looking at. What's the best way to do that? And we discussed it and talked about it, and then it's kind of brought us to this point. Basically, where we're at now is we're aggressively approaching this approach, but at the same time, we've got to follow certain steps in the process to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to get the feedback from the public. The one thing we want to be very conscious of, and we always have, is the tax rate that does affect our...
A lot of farmers over there.
Yeah, there is.
A lot of people that...
And I feel like the school corporation as a whole, as I look back at trend data and look back in the history, that's one thing our corporation's always been very cognizant of and tried their very best to make sure that that we don't burden our taxpayers too much. And then also, when we do and those tax dollars come in, that we spend them wisely and we give them a good product for their investment. And that's really what anybody wants, is that return on investment. So when you look at our record over the past 20 years, at least that I can speak to 16 of those, I feel like that, and for many, many years, we were rated a Best Buy school, basically doing the most with our tax dollars. So, and that's still something that we take pride in. And I think I sharpen the pencil when I do the budget. I try to do everything we can. And there's always going to be times where people say, well, I'd wish more money was allocated this direction instead of this direction. But ultimately, we try to do as good a job as we can to make sure that we're taking care of every opportunity that we have. You know, and again, even with this project, I mean, there's been some listening we've done as far as when we sit down and finally put the design together. That's probably been a challenge too, is we're kind of approaching this with a little different approach with a design build project. So all you do at the first is you kind of stipulate all the things you want that those design builders to look for. And then you have four or five firms that then compete for that project. And they put together designs, they put together ideas, and they put together stuff within your budget that you've given them. And then that's when we would have more information, because that's the thing we want folks want, a drawings or what's this going to look like. And we didn't necessarily want to put those out there, not because we're trying to keep anything from anybody, but sometimes when you do that and then you don't end up coming up with what you showed them, then they wonder why, and why was that changed. So that's something that's new, is and again, it's just it enables us to set that budget and hold that budget, and then those folks have to come in and present to us, and then what we'll do is put together a team of folks to grade those, you know, those designs and those plans. And then at the end of the day, we'll select a design builder that fits all of our criteria that we wanted and prioritizes the things that we want to, and then also could stick to that budget.
So the meeting this week, I mean, was it about?
It was a hearing, just to kind of get an opportunity to have folks have their say
and
ask questions.
Part of the requirement for bonds, right?
Yeah, we have to have two preliminary determination hearings, so we did. And now basically we post that the board has voted to move forward with the project, and then now the taxpayers have 30 days with which to respond
push
to that. If they feel like they want to push it to a vote of a referendum of the community, they can do that within 30 days if they get enough signatures on a petition. But if they do not, then we would then proceed forward with some of the other things I just mentioned. And then the board really still has control of the project all the way up until they sell bonds, which would be late October, early November. So if the interest rates are what we want when we feel like we're taking those bonds to market, or maybe there's something that's changed between now and then, maybe the assessed valuation just goes drops low, and so therefore in order to do this project it's going to push the rate too high. They have complete control of the project until those bonds are sold, and like I said, that's sometime in probably late October, early November. So we still, obviously, we're still going to move forward and try to plan, but at the same time, they still have ultimate control over whether or not we extend the project, because we already got permission last summer to do the 6 or 8 million with the QZAB and then some additions. But the thing that's kind of given us pause is we had an opportunity when we got those bonds sold at 1.5% interest, and then we've seen some continued growth, and we feel like we can package this together and probably get better bids if it's a larger project, and we can save on soft costs if it's a larger project. So we're trying to do this in a way that we feel like over, instead of coming back a year or two from now and saying, hey, we're going to do another 4 million or another 5 million. If we do it now, we feel like we can get more bang for our buck and do it where it's, again, fiscally responsible and trying to remain as efficient as possible.
And have a great project, something you could be proud of.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
So what were some, I mean, I know we talked about some of the things you mentioned that you kind of have a wish list. We want these things. Give me a handful of those.
I mean, okay. Obviously, the HVAC upgrades, which is a heavy dollar amount. Estimates from $1.5 to $2 million to basically totally renovate the whole HVAC system, which needs to happen, and that also be able to build in some capacity for the addition.
Okay.
Electrical upgrades, and those are two key components. And then as far as the actual, like if you the walls and the bricks and mortar part of the project, we're looking at upgrading all of our science labs to state-of-the-art STEM labs, where they basically can still do their science, their biology, chemistry, but they also have they're equipped to be able to do a lot of that other stuff.
And that's the QZAB aspect,
right?
That, I mean, you have to do the project that that you're saying you want to do, right?
And that and again, with us, the biggest thing we've noticed is that with Crane being in our backyard, I think we have to embrace that as an unbelievable opportunity and make sure that we're engaging with them and inviting them in to help us with that process. And then hopefully putting our kids in positions to where they can know what's all about there 30 minutes to the north of us and all the opportunities that are there, because there's a lot of baby boomers that are going to be retiring or getting ready to retire.
There's
a lot of opportunities. And I know that's something when I speak to leaders at Crane, they're concerned with. They want to make sure that they got some homegrown talent, because they don't want to train them for a year or two and then have them boom, go back to the East Coast or go somewhere else. And then they've invested all those dollars in them and we've not seen that return on investment.
HVAC, we talked about the STEM program. Is there's a gym or auditorium or something?
Also built in there is we're actually going to maneuver and build brand new music classrooms. So like our music, elementary music and choral programs will have a brand new state of the art room to where it's set up for that class. Right now they're just in a classroom that kind of crammed in there. And the same thing for our band program. So we're hoping that those two programs can see this as they're going to get a size of classroom that they really they really need to be able to handle all the different things that they do. And so we're excited about that. And then obviously with us filling in the classroom, the gym with classrooms down in the elementary, is looking at a facility out to the south. And that's been a source of a lot of debate and a lot of, there's folks that say if you're going to do that and you're going to utilize that, you're probably landlocked to be able to build anything else out there. So why not do it right? And why not put up a facility together? Because a lot of people don't know that our high school gym isn't even a regulation size. I mean, it's shorter than a regulation floor. And then one of the things with the upgrades is our bleachers that are in there are the main bleachers that were in there when the gym was built. So they're basically living on borrowed time. And once you replace those, then you have to replace everything with ADA compliant bleachers. And so you lose quite a few seats with aisles and with cutouts and things like that. So we're looking at a gym that's also going to probably decline in seating if we do just the minor things to it that we have to once we touch it. So
it becomes a huge project, doesn't it?
Yeah. And again, I think I certainly... the biggest thing, there's been some misconception. We're building this massive gym complex like the Hatchet House or Jasper's Gym. And the biggest thing that the board and I've talked about is, obviously we'd like to build a gym that's going to be feasible for not only our PE classes and our teams to play in, but practices and other performances as well. Cause we do utilize that as a community center. All of our music students and all those folks, that's where they do their performances. So it's trying to set it up in a way to be able to accommodate those. And one thing that came...
Multiple use, not just the sports.
Well, and
program,
one of the things that came out of the last meeting, too, two meetings ago, is there's some things we've talked about doing with our main gym now, the Kavanaugh Court gym, that possibly could lend itself to where we could do a stage on one side and then have an opportunity where we kind of have that as a multi-purpose facility. We can still utilize it for junior high games and elementary games, but then also have the capabilities of having our elementary music programs in there and our performances in there with kind of a stage on that one side, a retractable stage that would be way better than what we have now. The only stage we have now is in a cafeteria that seats about 250 to 300 kids, and adults are even harder to get in there. So we don't utilize that a whole lot, but this would be an opportunity where you could say, you know what, we could still have the stage, the lighting, the sound, and things like that, and then be able to even offer performances where you could get 1,200 people in there, possibly.
Yeah. Well, look, you guys are doing big things. Anytime you're doing anything, there's going to be some people that are all for it. There's going to be people that want to see something different. You know, maybe not 100% on that, but you can't say that the Barbie schools aren't doing big things. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
And let's move on. We spent a lot of time on that building project, but obviously it's a big issue. And I want to talk a little bit about enrollment.
Sure.
And where you're at with that. We talked about it last year. You told me that, things are, enrollment's going up.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
And that's kind of spurned some of the building project on as well, is just making sure that we have adequate room for everybody and making sure that we've got, because we do pride ourselves on having smaller class sizes. Well, when you do that, you obviously need more rooms to be able to spread those students apart and have the number we usually strive for is between 16 and 22 students per class. Our enrollment last year was about 852, so it was up about 20 from the prior year. And then right now we're projecting, probably a really conservative estimate. It's probably about 870, 880 for K through 12, which would be another increase that we've seen.
But again, 20 or so students. Right,
right. Right. So, so again, for a small school, small rural school like us, I mean, I talked to a lot of different superintendents, and I was actually asked by Jennifer McCormick, the superintendent of public instruction. I sat on a small and rural school task force this whole year, went up to Indianapolis once a month, and we talked about issues facing and plaguing small schools. How can we do some different things to meet those challenges? And I was probably one of the only ones in the building that wasn't facing some of the challenges the other ones were facing. So I was an outlier in that regard. But it also takes doing things like we're doing to keep that happening.
Absolutely. So. It's an unusual place, and I know you probably catch some flack, but look, you got to keep moving the ball and,
sure,
and moving and the needle. And
the thing about flack is I don't really mind it because I know people are passionate, and I'd rather have passionate people. I mean, and obviously people in politics and other places face that a little bit. I'd rather have people that are passionate, and if they're bringing great ideas to the table and they have concerns, I'd much rather have it that way than people that are complacent and aren't caring about those things. And the biggest thing is the only thing I can ask them is just to ask the questions and get informed by the right people. And even then they may not agree, and that's fine. I mean, we can all agree to disagree on a lot of things, but
or you might catch some information that you're like, hey, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea. And we've done that right. Already over the last 2 to 3 years is really we've been able to garner some good ideas that, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and we're doing this, I'm not saying on the fly, but we're doing this in that kind of nature to where, hey, we want to make sure we do our homework. We want to make sure we study this thoroughly, and this is the best way to go.
Absolutely. Well, very good comments on that. We talked about some of the big changes that are going on in the building project, enrollment matters. I want to talk a little bit about sports because I know we've got a big change coming up for Bar Eve. You had a good season last year in basketball, boys basketball, and obviously there's more sports at Bar Eve than just boys basketball. But tell us where we're going with that program, what's going on to the degree that you can talk about.
Sure, I spoke a little bit at the board meeting on Tuesday night, and I'll say this again, I feel like that our program's in great shape, and it's a great shape for a lot of reasons. It's in great shape because we've had a lot of good quality people that have worked in it for years, and none other more than Albert Cavanaugh, who's been a staple there for over 40 years. And again, it goes back to the reason the school's successful, because we have folks that care, we have folks that are willing to work, and we have folks that are willing to sacrifice and do the things that you need to do to have a good program. And I don't think that's going to change. I really don't. I think it just like the school is bigger than one person, I think that program is bigger than one person. And we're approaching that position in our search in the fact that it's one of the best jobs in the state of Indiana. And so we're going to do our due diligence. I know myself, Principal Jeff Doyle, and Athletic Director Aaron Ash have made that our top priority over the last week and a half.
Can you tell me how many applicants is the application period closed? Do they need a Schwarzenegger to apply? And how many applicants?
We've seen over 25 applicants thus far. I'd say we got a few more to end today because people are still inquiring about it. So, but again, I mean, we've got them all over the spectrum. You've got guys that have been at it for a long time, and you've got some guys that are looking for that place to really make their name for themselves, and they see Bar Eve as a place to do that. We're going to end up probably talking to 10 or 11 different people. But we've been basically in the last week or so, we've really been reaching out and talking to people about the job and finding more out about people. So it's like anything else. We're doing our homework to see who we feel like we need to sit down and talk with and get their ideas about what they feel about the program and what they can do moving it forward. And so we're certainly not to the end result there, but we're working diligently to put ourselves in a position where we hope in the next little bit we're going to be able to get somebody great to continue to lead the program.
Well, this is really good stuff. We are running out of time. I think we covered a lot of ground. We are going to do, like I said, a preview of a couple local schools. So I'm going to give you the next 15, 30 seconds just to kind of wrap up and summarize where we're headed in the 2018-2019 school year at Bar Eve Schools, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Sure, and we're just excited. I mean, obviously, I consider every day a lucky day because you get to do what you love to do, and that's work with kids, and I consider education a vocation, and I feel like that's the way our folks at our school approach that every day, whether it's a bus driver, a cafeteria worker, or a maintenance folks, and our teachers and aides that work with our kids. And it's one of those things where we'll enjoy our summer, but when we get back to the grind again, I think we'll all be excited for another school year and all the possibilities that that'll bring for our kids and for everybody just to continue to grow and again, make Bar Eve even better.
Very good. Thanks for coming on, and you have a great school year, all right?
Thanks, Grant. Appreciate it.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Lagodi. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The Journal 95.9 FM, 1580 AM. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwarzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.